Lower your expectations. Season 3, it's a hockey podcast with Lance, Coach, and Randall. Hello and welcome to the Youth Hockey Podcast, episode number 12. I can't believe that we've made it this far of the season without mentioning, Lance, how far you have had to drive this year in order to watch your kids play hockey. How many times have you crossed this great land in the last 3 years? How many times have you crossed this great land following your hockey dreams?
Holy moly. I don't even think I can tell you it. A lot. How about, because each trip is what, 2,500 miles?
Yeah. No. You are a road warrior.
Yeah, I think give U-Haul or take has stock in you. On where you're going.
Yeah.
What was that?
Well, it could be as many as 2,800.
Right. I mean, a lot of mine the last couple of years has been to New Jersey and back. So
that's a lot of miles on that car of yours, my friend.
Oh, exactly. And I did do, let's see, probably, well, by car, I would say 2,500 miles and one Badger.
Poor Badger. Oh, that poor Badger. I've heard the story. Yeah. Waze is really what killed it, though. I don't believe that it was Lance in his car. It was Waze. Please pick that up, Lance.
Well, it actually was not to correct you, but it was actually Google Maps.
That's what I meant. Google Maps killed that goddamn Badger, not you.
Exactly.
Right.
Tell him why.
Okay. Because I made the mistake of using, you know, I'd gotten halfway across the country on Google Maps and it did a pretty good job, but it's really intent on getting you from point A to point B in as short a mileage as possible, which sometimes isn't the best option because Dave, this is no lie. We had left Colorado and we're heading towards Iowa. And rather than take the major highway across and all these different gas stations and restaurants, it decided that I should cut across the middle. And I ended up at one point on a dirt road.
Right through cornfields, let me guess.
Yep. Exactly, through a cornfield. And that's when I met a poor badger just trying to get to the other side because I kept thinking like the cell signal kept going out and we had no service. And I was like, oh God, if we break down here, no one's ever going to find us.
There's a movie about that. It's called Children.
That's what I was about to say. I believe there are several horror films that start in the exact way that you're talking. And tell them about the badger flap. Go ahead and tell them about that part.
About the badger
flap.
Oh, exactly.
Got caught up in the undercarriage of the vehicle.
Well, what happened was is that you would be shocked that, I truly did try to avoid him. I saw him. I was probably driving too fast for a dirt road. And I saw him at the last minute and he was just standing there in the middle of the road. So I cut left, he cut left, and we made solid contact. And I was surprised because I thought, you know, like maybe like a small dog or a cat or something, he'd bounce off. But boy, he hit my bumper like a linebacker. And it was just like, boom. And then all of a sudden,
the ASPCA just stopped listening to our podcast, by the way, forever. They just turned it off completely.
Them and their badger for not getting out of my way. And so as soon as he hit, I mean, I felt it. I'm lucky that the airbags didn't go off. And all of a sudden, like Randy said,
a badger can be a large animal. I mean,
he was big. He was bigger than a cat. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, I just heard this god awful noise, and I looked at my wife and I said, "All right, we're in trouble here." And the engine seemed to sound normal, but there was some noise. Like I thought maybe I tore the tire off or something, and my sons were following me and they called us on the phone and they're like, "Dad, we think you're dragging the badger." And I'm like, "Oh God." So we pulled over and they were like, "Well, what are we going to do?" And I told my sons, I said, "Well, one of you's getting under the car with a hockey stick and you're going to beat that badger off of the car." But when they got underneath there, what had happened was, is I guess the badger somehow got hold of the undercarriage and he ripped it completely off. So I was dragging the plastic undercarriage of the car down the highway. So thank God, though, that the rest of the car wasn't damaged, you know, and we just got underneath there. We had a knife and they cut it free and we were thankfully on our way, you know.
Wow. Well, yeah, I don't know if this is going to make you feel any better, but let me tell you what my father said to me on many an occasion in my formative years of driving. He this is a scenario that he really liked to weigh in on. And he would often, you know, posit to me, it's like, okay, there's a there's some form of a critter, a live creature in front of you, and you're driving down the road, and you're going to there's just no time to really evade this. You have two choices here. You've got to either you know, drive and hit that creature, or you have to take evasive action. What do you do, son? And the answer, according to him, and he was a World War II veteran, a Navy man. You do not. He told me many times, you do not take the chance of trying to evade that animal, because you're endangering the lives of all the people in the vehicle with you. So Lance, you did what the only thing you could do, any rational person. You had to mow down that poor badger. It was sad, but you, that's just what you got to do. You can't swerve and take the chance you're gonna maybe hit another vehicle or go off the road and crash and take out your, you know, everyone in the vehicle with you, or someone coming behind you. You gotta do what you did.
This hockey podcast has taken a really strange turn. I really, you know, I thought we'd very quickly go through the farthest we'd ever gone. To get to a hockey game.
A World War II veteran.
Yeah, that we've all of a sudden gotten into like Navy.
You got to mow down. I got it. Your vehicle.
In order to get to your hockey game, you go. Yeah, I got gotcha. Right. I got gotcha. What's the farthest you've ever been, coach, for a hockey related event? How far? What's the farthest you've traveled?
Well, we traveled up to Canada, up to Vancouver this year, in the car. That's the first time I've driven out of the United States across the border. You would think
Canada isn't really out of the United States. I mean, I hate to tell you that.
I know you like to think that, but no way.
The 51st state.
In fact, we didn't fill out the COVID app correctly. I didn't know I had to, and we were briefly deported back into the States and had to go back and do a UE. And that wasn't fun, but eventually they did let us in. So yes, I traversed that. I've never driven down to Mexico. Have either of you guys done that? Because I know a lot of people from SoCal.
Never for hockey. No.
Never for hockey.
Although, do you
mainly
remember
is for we prescription drugs that I can't get over counter
some,
here.
Or
yeah,
some kind of cheap,
I go down there. I load up on Percocet off-brand cocaine, and
I like to go down and get my you know, cosmetic procedures done down there.
Yes, that too. Most dental procedures I will have done in Tijuana, because
that's small potatoes. I mean, I'm talking about a facelift, new nose.
Yeah. Maybe, well, by the way, you look great.
I got my legs broken, and they made me 2 inches taller
down there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Much cheaper than it would have cost me here.
Right. Well, that's these are all stories of grandeur. I once went to like I said, I was in Scotland. The farthest away I've been away to do a hockey function. We were living in Scotland for a short period of time, and we went to a rink in Ayrshire. That is the farthest I have been and played hockey. So. You know, that's just the setup for my topic today.
You
which
beat
is,
a lot of people with that, I think. No,
it's not win or lose. Everybody that plays hockey wins, I believe.
Oh, now what about Lance? Where's the farthest Lance has been?
Lance had so much time hitting that badger, he does not get any more time.
I want to say, like, the way you presented it, I felt like it had to be a drive or something, because I did drive, you know, I've I drove back and forth across the country in the last couple of years, three times, I believe.
I know. So, I could have chosen either of you, by the way, Dave. When I was thinking that, when I said it to Lance, I was like, oh, actually, Dave's done the same damn thing. Both of you have gone Jersey or Pennsylvania to California multiple times. So,
neither.
I didn't even think about it until I was in the middle of the sentence. But yes, all of us have gone very far for hockey. And I thought,
do you remember though? Yeah. I know you want to get onto your topic here.
No, go ahead.
Just cut us off at the most exciting time that we're talking about this.
There is absolutely no circumcision of your time, Dave. Go ahead.
Do you recall the time when we had to play a tournament in Vegas and it was a torrential downpour that basically shut down the freeways and we were diverted off? Or at least I was diverted off by my friend Waze in a route almost as crazy as driving through Iowa. And how we survived that, I will never know, because it was absolutely terrifying.
I remember the up downs on the pear blossom. Right? Yeah, no, I was about to say the up downs on the pear blossom. Every time you went down into the ravine, there was like sitting water there, about like a foot and a half.
And there was like so trucks splash, coming through,
splash,
going
splash.
Like,
yeah,
yeah, going sideways through about a foot and a half of water, and people pulled. And I'm just thinking, what am I doing? I should pull over. This is just insane. But no. We got to be there for the tournament. So we just kept plugging along.
You know, my grandfather told me that when there's standing water on the road, he said, and he's a Navy man. He's from the great World War II. Mm-hmm. He said, there's standing water and you have the choice between going through the standing water and getting into a hockey game or pulling her aside and being safe. He said, you gun it, baby. You gun it. You go straight through. You splash, splash,
you
splash.
It's called hydroplaning.
Hydroplane across. That's right. You just go through it.
You shoot right through.
That's right. He's a Navy man. He would know.
Yep.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
By the way, I went to Calgary, but I flew.
Ah, nice. Flying to Calgary.
Yeah. Did you have a nice time? In the needle?
What is it? It's not the needle.
It's a
tower.
That's Seattle.
Come on, Rob.
No, there's something similar.
There's a tower
Seattle.
The kids went. I didn't go, but... Randy, we love Calgary, you know.
Was it winter time when you were there? Because I've been to Calgary when it was the summer, and it was fantastic up there.
For the Calgary Stampede, I'm guessing?
Yes.
The Stampede was happening. I wasn't there for that. Actually, at the time, believe it or not, I think we had a young child, and my wife was working for the University of Calgary. So I went up infant at that point.
Aww, I went up with her. Now, which infant was this?
This was my first child.
Aww.
And she was maybe one and a half, two. And I threw her in the backpack and walked around the city of Calgary. It was fantastic. But then I've also heard from people that it gets just ungodly cold up there.
Well, I was there in spring, around like middle of April, and it snowed every day.
Yeah, that's interesting. In April.
Yeah. You gotta be prepared for the seasons when you go up to Canada at almost any month. I'm guessing August you're safe. Any other month, you better be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, Lance, Calgary. I'm glad that you enjoyed a little bit of out of the country, Vancouver, Raleigh. Again, same thing. I got to tell you, eventually I want to make it to a beautiful place like Switzerland, who if you remember, one of our good friends, Lorenz, is from Switzerland. That would be my next place to go to watch or my kids play or to watch a hockey game.
By the way, since we're talking about Switzerland.
Yeah.
A lot of surprising number of really good NHL players from Switzerland. Sometimes it's hard to tell with the names, you just don't know. But they're doing something really, really right with the development program in Switzerland. And in fact, I'm going to throw out a couple names here.
These are
some players from Swiss hockey players playing in the NHL right now. latest King acquisition, Kevin Fiala, Swiss player.
He won the game the other night for him. Actually, did you see that?
Yeah, he's having he's a great player.
Yeah. No, I mean a big pickup for him. I think for them.
Exactly.
How about Nico Hischier from the New Jersey Devils, captain of the New Jersey Devils now? Yes, Switzerland. Nino Niederreiter, great player. Played a bunch of different teams. Currently playing for the Nashville Preds. Timo Meier of the Sharks, great player. And let's just leave it with this. And there's a bunch more. I mean,
you're pulling a couple out of a hat.
How about Roman Josi?
He's Predators.
one of the best players in the NHL.
So that would be my next. If I had a choice, I probably would spend a little time in the beautiful country of Switzerland, taking in a game or two. Yes. And watching I'm there. Maybe my daughter will play in Switzerland. Who knows? Or one of my sons.
I've been there, Randy, it was beautiful.
I have seen the pictures. I have almost smelled the beauty as I've taken it in when I was watching my son's trip through Switzerland, and I gotta tell you, it's something. It's a draw. It's a magnet. It's something that I would love to do. Talking about the great draw and the large magnet that hockey puts upon a family or a child, I wanted to spend my topic this week is about kids that. Stories of how far kids have had to go to get on a team. Not crazy stories. I don't want to set them up as crazy hockey parents stories, but just the kind of, let's say, slightly eccentric levels that people go to in order to get their kid onto a team that they believe that he belongs or he or she belongs on. And I wanted to start out with, I remember when my kid was a peewee, the goalie came down from Alaska. And originally he was supposed to just come down for the games. And that was like nuts to me. That's like a 5-hour flight every weekend that he was planning on coming down for the games. Eventually this 12-year-old billeted with one of the players' parents. And all of this was so that there would be a good goalie on a peewee tier 2 team in Southern California. I gotta tell you, man, that is friggin' commitment. I don't know where that kind of commitment comes from, but that is the kind of thing that you do not see. I mean, I never saw like a kid from from Calgary coming down to play soccer on my daughter's soccer team. I have had multiple stories of kids that have been like, absolutely super, away from a very far playing for a team that was very far away from their home. That was one that I wanted to bring up. I wanted to see if you guys had any similar stories. I have more, by the way. I just thought whenever your crazy hockey parent gene flares up and you're thinking, oh, I'm doing too much, or I'm acting, we're going to too many tournaments or whatever, just know that the stories around youth hockey, you have to really, really try to beat out some of the stories that are jangling around the hockey landscape. So, Lance, I'd like to start with you.
I got a good one.
Okay, please go.
This was peewees in...
What is it about peewees and wanting to achieve in peewees? Wow.
Yeah, so our peewee team, we had a player... who was from Fresno, and our practices were Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, then a game typically on Sunday or Saturday, Sunday.
Set the table for people that don't know the distance between Burbank and Fresno. Just give them a little taste.
That's, you probably know better than me, but I'm going to guess. I'll guess here. I'm going to say I know it's like a 3-hour drive, isn't it?
I'm just about to look it up, but I thought you might know. But just a second. Fresno to Burbank. Go ahead, continue, and I'll have it in just a second.
So anyway, Here, I'm looking it up myself here.
That'll be 208 miles. 208 miles.
Wow.
Round trip. Lance, would you like to do some math for the people at home? How far would that be round trip, Lance?
What, 208 miles? 416?
There you go. 416. Oh, wow. 416 to get your kid back and forth to practice.
So he, yeah, would, I bet you don't want to lease a car under that particular arrangement.
Oh, they
would drive. They would drive. I couldn't believe they would drive on Tuesday, make practice. When practice was over, drive back to Fresno, come back for Friday night practice, and spend the weekend in a hotel, and then they'd go home on Sunday. But here's the funniest part of the whole thing. You know, so this person was making that level of a commitment and never missed a practice, was there for every event, every game, every everything. And I'll never forget the one time when we had practice and one of the dad's kid doesn't show up. And at the next practice, you know, the whole team was like, well, where were you? And he's like, you know, man, traffic was really a nightmare. I couldn't get there. And I remember all the parents jumped on this guy and said, wait a minute, let me get this straight. You live 20 minutes from the rink and you couldn't get here on time. Yet this guy just drove 208 miles and got his kid to practice with plenty of time to spare. You know, wow. We're like, that excuse doesn't
public
work.
Shaming.
Oh my God. Yeah. Everything that season, by the way, everything would be like, you know, like, oh, you didn't get a cup of coffee. You knew what this kid did. He went 208 miles and you can't walk across the street and get me a cup of coffee.
It's like the Abe Lincoln story. Yeah. Of the you know, I had to walk 10 miles with an axe on my back, you know, to back and forth from the rink carrying, you know, 100 pounds of gear.
That exactly. reminded me
and I had to
of
drive,
another
drive 208 miles before I could even start that journey.
That's right. PWA into Valencia. We had a kid from Visalia that used to drive down from Visalia. And that's another 170, 180 mile for PWA is what he drove down for. I know.
Crazy.
He was a good kid.
Some of these people don't
really
have
nice kids
because they're living in an area where they don't have any options.
I get it. By the way, I get it. I'm just saying, man, that is, when you say don't have a choice, though, Coach Ralston, you know you can always not play hockey.
Well, that.
Oh, wait, what am I talking about? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I don't know what I'm talking about.
You don't
about.
Have a
that's,
choice. You don't have a choice
ridiculous.
If your kid wants to play hockey. That's
how dare Randy
not really
say
a choice.
I know. I just basically blast. I'm so sorry. I didn't say it. You know, Fresno does have an ice rink, though. I bet they have some youth hockey options. It is still, by the way, we talk about this and we joke about it. It is still my sincere belief that if you can find a decent hockey near you, it's better than great hockey very far away. Decent hockey that doesn't disrupt your schedule or your kid's education or any of that other stuff is a beautiful menu item. I know you're eating instead of filet mignon, you're eating In-N-Out. I get it. But In-N-Out is pretty damn good because it's hockey. I know I kind of skipped a groove there, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah.
I think this is going to, I think you're going to get a lot of people. This is going to hit close to home. A lot of people are going to really take this as you know, personal criticism because there's an awful lot of people that are making these type of journeys because they're looking at it as an opportunity
pilgrimage.
To play
a
better
it's
a
pilgrimage.
Level of hockey.
Well, and
because
I'm not
the people
saying
that
it's
live
wrong,
in like Visalia
Coach.
Maybe have no option because there's literally no team there, like or Santa Barbara. We had some teammates from Santa Barbara. There's no club hockey there, so well, I guess they have the
there's
they
low
have,
level. Yeah, they've got
they
something. Have,
yeah,
there.
But I mean, at the age that our kids were playing together, there was no option. Other maybe a B team. And these kids were playing, you know, double A. So they would have had to, you know, if they take your
Okay, no, no, stop getting angry at me, Coach. By the way, this is the kind of argument. No, you have no sympathy for my viewpoint at times, and I understand it. But I'm not saying going 60 miles or 100 miles is a bad idea. We were talking about the crazy stories of Alaskan, you know, person coming all the way down to Southern California. That's right. Pretty crazy. I mean, come on. There were kids that were on the Kings AAA team, and Lance confirmed this for me, that used to fly in and out of Las Vegas. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. So, I mean,
and he was a pretty good player too, boy.
Of course they, by the way, if you're going to go that far, you probably are. I get that. But I'm saying that hockey pushes you to these great, I don't know, trials. And there's some pretty crazy stories out there. Let's go ahead and share a couple amongst ourselves. It yes. doesn't mean that we think these people are dumb or bad or any of those things. It means that they are very committed to the way their kids play hockey. And it just should make a little, all of the people that have to drive, because I have to drive 70 miles to get to a girls' team. And you know this, Raleigh.
Right. That's yeah. about what on a,
yeah.
See, the problem is too.
I have to drive 70 miles.
It's not the 70 miles. It's
it's not. It, yeah,
it's that 70 miles can take you 2 hours.
It is the 70 miles of Southern California snake oil that is called the 5 freeway. It is awful. Go ahead.
Or those crazy routes that you will sometimes try and take to make it.
You end up hitting a lot of badgers doing that. I don't do that anymore.
You might take five or six badgers.
five or six badgers on the way. The badger population has never come back from right. Lance's trips. I'm not going to let that happen.
Other we didn't bring up.
Varmint. They're varmint. Yeah. There is a vast array of varmint that have been victims to the cruelty of ways.
And you get on the East Coast, you can take out a deer or two without, you know, even and that could take your whole vehicle out.
We used to have the deer whistles. Do you have the deer whistles on your car? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, Coach? No. You know, that's,
oh, there are these little things.
What is it?
Okay. There's the little things that you put on the front of your car and the wind blows through them. And it's a high pitched sound that deers can hear And it's supposed to, alert them to your approach. And being alerted to your approach, they're supposed to skedaddle, I believe.
I'm surprised that I have not heard of this, because in Pennsylvania, it is really a catastrophe there, because they changed. It used to be that they had a hunting season there, but the density of the population, I guess, is such that they did away with that. So there's no longer a hunting season. The only hunting that's allowed is with bow. So,
well, Pennsylvanians also, they might just shoot at anything moving. You know that. Yeah, the Pennsylvanians are rugged.
Listen, my son played on a team in Pennsylvania, and he had a teammate who proudly took down a couple deer and posted those photos on the team feed deers that he shot with
their,
a bow.
To each their own. I'm just saying Pennsylvania is not known as a welcoming place. That's all I'm
just
saying.
Santa Claus
can back me up.
That is really crazy there. And I know at least five or six people that hit deers, and you hit a deer, it's not like hitting a badger. A badger may take out your undercarriage, but a deer will come right through the windshield, and there's people routinely not shuffling off the mortal coil thanks to a deer coming through the windshield, or at very least you may be totaling a car there. So you don't want to have some kind of crazy route that's taking you through Pennsylvania deer country. Let me just put
no,
it that
I, that that's, that does not sound right. It doesn't sound good to me either.
Speaking of this, so since you brought it up, I will talk about a couple. You know, again, I mentioned my kid playing on team Pennsylvania, had multiple teammates who were from Maryland. And so Maryland's basically, you know, you got Washington, D.C., Maryland area. It can.
This
be,
was during the COVID year too, right?
Yeah, this was during the COVID
a time.
Year.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
But that drive could be, it could be depending on where you were, maybe an hour and a half, but it could be an hour. It could be 2 hours 15. And so you're driving up the Eastern Seaboard. Then we had a teammate on that same team who lived in Long Island. And so it's about, it could be about a 2 hour drive from that area to, you know, you're talking about suburbs of Philadelphia to New York City. It's not that bad of a drive, but when, but then if you're living in Long Island, you got to get across a bridge. And the dad, you know, told me, like, you know, I'd say, well, how long it take you to get down tonight? And he'd be like, you know, it's not a bad drive, except that that freaking, you know, bridge, hour to get across the bridge. That's before you even get to the 2 hours. So, wow. Yeah, it could, you know, and he, his kid was on that team for 2 years, I guess. Finally heard they went to a New England team, but it's yeah, that's a lot of commitment.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, there are people that are out there right now listening that are like about to begin a drive of like 6 hours to get their kid to a rink. And all I have to say to you is we salute you, sir or ma'am. But at the same time, we know that it's not an easy, you know, it's not an easy thing. It's not easy to get your kid on the team you want and going to the right places and all that stuff. But we do salute you, mom, dad. You know, every time you fill up the car, it's probably to get your kid to a hockey practice.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I want to say one thing about the dad from Long Island. His kid was drafted into the USHL.
Wow.
This is a kid that could have played on any number of teams. Why did he play on the team that he played on, where he was a teammate of my son? Because he liked the team, and that's why he went back. It was the kid. In fact, originally he was supposed to go to a prep school in the area, which is part of the reason he was going to sort of split season it, and then ended up not going to the school because the school was basically shut down by COVID. And so they made the decision not to go there after all, which made sense, but they stuck it out and stayed with the team for that whole year. But then the thing is, the kid went back next year. Why? Because he liked the kids on the team, the teammates. So here's a kid, you know, it's clearly not an issue of like whether or not the He's team good enough. Was good. I mean, this kid could have played on any number of, you know, some of the best teams in the Atlantic. And chose the team that, and the dad went along with it to play up for the team with the kids that he wanted to play with, at least for those couple of years. So
yeah, that's a very nice story.
Yeah,
I like it. I'd like to cap this off with the story of the shortest commute. I am right now looking out my window and I can see the rink that my son and daughter play hockey at. It's about 120 yards, 150 yards away. It's not that close, but I couldn't run it, not at my weight, but I could walk it fairly easily. And I will tell you, having experienced both the long drive and the short drive, and this is going to shock some listeners. This could be something that you guys need to write down, all of you. Short drive's better.
Yeah. I mean, no one's debating
that. Doesn't get any shorter than that.
I don't know, man. That is a shorty. The one that I'm talking about here is really short. And I don't know. I just think that's pretty good. I do have a little bit of a quiz for you and the coach to end up. We have a little lightning round here just because we haven't done it in a couple of weeks.
All right.
And the winner of this gets to be the host of the Youth Hockey Podcast for the next three podcasts. I think someone else should take the mantle. Someone should introduce us and just get the experience of being in the center square, the Paul Lind of the group, if you don't mind me saying. And I think you guys both deserve it, but only one of you gets it, and it's the person that can answer.
Well, you're going to get some crazy answers as Dave and I both trying to tank.
I know.
Make it seem like this is something that somebody wants.
Okay. The first indoor hockey game was played on what year? Both of you guessed. The closest one wins.
1898.
And coach?
Was that before or after Custer's last stand, 1898?
It was after Custer's last stand, I believe. Go ahead.
1898, huh? Indoor hockey game.
Indoor hockey game.
I think it was, I believe if I'm correct here, the game was played right after that game that they made the movie about the basketball team, whatever. That,
the Hoosiers.
The Hoosiers. There it is. So that I want to say May 1950.
No, it had to be
1875. Oh, wow. In Montreal.
Lance, you are winning.
Two teams. You are winning. We got Lance.
Oh, Dave. With one. Dave was going to say 2020.
Okay. Okay. Wayne Gretzky holds how many NHL records? By far the most of any player, but how many records does he hold?
Am I allowed to say all of them?
You're allowed to say all of them, but give me a number.
Oh, man. Come on. I don't even know how many records they exist.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. So, like,
I know. You know, you'd be better off excluding and saying, well, he definitely didn't have the lowest all-time
goals against
save percentage. Yeah.
That's all right. I'll say, since I really don't know how many different records they track, I'll say 7.
Okay. And if you don't mind, coach?
That's a good guess. 7. I'm going to say 10.
You guys are very close. It was 61. 61. NHL
what
records.
Categories are we talking about?
Yeah, I want to hear some of these.
Oh, no. This is
61.
61.
Come on, there's 61 okay. categories.
There's not even 61 categories.
I'm done with you. The NHL record for the most points in a single game. How many points was that when helping the Toronto Maple Leafs beat the Boston Bruins? How many points did he get in a single game, 1976?
In the NHL?
Yes, NHL.
Okay.
Most points in a single game, how many?
Wow.
So, Raleigh, you actually won that last
one.
Just barely. 9 okay. points. Good choice.
Interesting, because I was going to say 10. I'll stick with 10.
It is 10. He had 5 goals and 5
wow.
assists.
Wow.
So, Lance, nice. You're nice. Up
2-1.
I mean, yeah. Okay.
There is some introduction in your future, I feel.
Oh, it's going to be great. The last player in the NHL to play without a helmet. It isn't the date of it. Never mind. He retired in 1997, but it wasn't the last game that he played with it. His name was Craig McTavish, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Did you know that?
No, I was thinking, for some reason, I was thinking Brad Park.
I was going to say Harold Schneps.
No, there was guys from the like 70s still doing that.
Okay, so the 1956 Montreal Canadiens team featured how many future Hall of Famers? It's the most of any team. How many future Hall of Famers were on the 1956 Montreal Canadiens team?
Is this Lance? You going
I'll
first?
Say
on this
7.
One?
You'll say 7. Go ahead, Raleigh.
Oh, I'm gonna go way higher and say like 12.
12 is the answer. There were 12. Wow,
that's a guess.
Okay.
Yes, I believe
a 2-2. This is the last
clock is broken. Clock is right twice a day.
Okay, this is the last one. We're tied 2-2. The winner. Is the one with the closest?
I mean,
guess.
The people that are listening, Andy, to this have got to be on.
They're the winners.
On pins and
they're
needles
the winners.
Here.
Yeah, I know. They are the true winners of any contest of this kind of magnitude between Lance and the coach. Andy Brown was the last goaltender to play a game without a mask, doing so for the Pittsburgh Penguins in what year?
Well, Andy Brown, man, I never even heard of the guy.
Well, obviously, it was a bit ago. You usually have a mask. But this was the last goaltender to play without a mask. And that was in what year?
Wow.
I've got a number in my mind ready to go.
All right. I'm going to go 1965.
Ooh, that's a good choice.
Well, because I never saw a guy without a mask ever. So it's before my time.
Yeah, but I mean, I think there might have been some guys that were just sort of floating around. And see, I was going to say 1965. That's a good guess. I was going to say 1968.
Coach, you are the winner. It was 1974.
Oh, wow. Really? 1974?
All the way into the 70s.
All the way into the 70s. So, Coach, you will be introducing the next three youth hockey podcasts. Wow. These are all yours. I've got to say, there's not a better man for the job. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. And I really can't wait till the beginning of the next Youth Hockey Podcast, because Dave is going to rip it up. I can feel it in my bones. And thanks for listening. If you have any questions, please hit us up on Gmail, youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com, youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. Any last thoughts, gentlemen?
No. Have a great week.
But my last thought would be, it's about mid-season for people in some cases listening to this. Hope the second half, or maybe a little bit more than the second 60% of your season, is great.
Yep, and get into the playoffs. Each and every one of your teams, get into the playoffs, have some fun, make some noise, and enjoy the entire ride. That from the Youth Hockey Podcast. We'll be coming back to you soon.
Remember to visit Gabe Gifford Hockey. The link is in the description and the webpage below.